It's a gray, drizzly day. I sit snuggled in the back of the moving van we've converted into a portable prayer room, waiting. I love these moments the most. Making space for God, asking Him to fill it in whatever way He wishes. Suddenly, four young men, half naked and fully intoxicated, leap into the truck. They look to be about 20 years old, big, strapping boys, tattooed, wild-eyed, and fierce. "I'm effing gonna do it. I'm gonna pray," one declares. I find out later his street name is Ratchet. Pulse throbbing, I feel a shot of adrenaline course through me. My first impulse is to scooch over and sit on my rucksack, which holds my wallet and my mobile. Hopefully, I won't get robbed. I scooch. I am aware that I might be dealing with territory issues. The prayer truck is parked downtown in an alley. We are behind the Living Rock, a local youth center. The teens tolerate the truck's presence out back, but any signage that we set up in front of the center gets torn down or destroyed. That's their turf. The truck, however, is my domain. Really, it's God's, but at this moment, I'm the one He's put in charge. "Well, gentlemen, you're in the prayer truck. Are we going to pray?" I sound much bolder than I feel. The ringleader swaggers over to the side of the truck, snatches one of the markers lying around, and scrawls his gang tag on the wall with a flourish. He steps back to admire his handiwork and shoots a grin at his comrades. "Fantastic," I say. "We've got little old ladies who come to the truck to pray. Now they're going to pray for your gang." Another boy grabs a marker and writes down the name of his son and his baby mama. In a moment, they are all scribbling, except one. He's young, but his face is already weathered by street life, pockmarked, grubby, and stubbly. "Can you help me read these?" he asks, pointing to the prayers written on the walls of the truck. He sounds out the words he knows, and together we decipher the heartfelt messages. "Mom, I can't stop hurting for you. I love you. Simple. That is all. Pray for everyone and everything." At the end of their visit, the boys and I sit in a circle, heads bowed and eyes closed. We pray for two of them who are desperate to get into rehab but haven't yet been able to. "I don't care about the weed, it's the hard stuff that's killing me." After a hearty amen, they leap to their feet, jump out of the van, and careen across the car park like a playful pack of wolves howling and yelping. I heave a sigh of relief, shaking the tension from my shoulders. That could have been bad, really bad. But instead, it was good. As my friend Sue would say in her British accent, deeply good. The next morning, I am at my post early, and Ratchet lopes up to where I'm sitting in a lawn chair on the roadside in front of the truck. He parks himself in the chair beside me, and as we watch the sunrise, he begins to talk. "I used to live in Toronto, but too many of my friends were getting killed in the gang fights. Hey, do you want to see my scars?" I'm a bit taken aback, but before I can respond, he lifts his shirt. "Here's where I got stabbed, and here, and here. Here's where my girlfriend skewered me with a screwdriver." After the scars have been duly viewed and admired, he settles back into the chair again. "What I really want to do is be a doctor," he says. "But school is so friggin' hard and teachers are stupid." We sit in silence for a while. I ask questions. He talks about everything and nothing.